Hi, everybody. My name is Kimberly. I'm a compulsive eater. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since 2011, and I came into the rooms because I couldn't stop eating. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I'm just trying to find writing utensils.
Oh,
Oh,
okay.
little
No, no
discombobulated,
worries.
but we're good. We're good. No worries. You go.
Okay, all right.
Don't mind us.
Since Yeah,
We're
so I've
still
been in
learning what we're
OA
figuring out what we're
since,
doing.
yeah, since 2011, and I've been abstinent coming up on 3 years in January. So, it's not my first rodeo, and it took me a while to get lasting abstinence. I was getting like, a week here, 30 days there, even 6 months. And then I would always go back to the food. And for me, I'm abstinent from what we call recreational sugar, which is obvious forms of sugar, desserts, cakes, cookies, all the things that start with C typically, and anything that's sugar for sugar's sake. I also have to be really careful with sugar lookalikes, like protein bars and granola bars, because those could easily be just as sexy, and I'll want more than one. So I also abstain from over-exercising, which was something that I used to do, and I really try to use exercise for health, and rather than trying to lose weight quickly, which is what I always used exercise for, was to combat like a binge. Now I'm at a healthy body weight, and for the most part, I'm not obsessed with the way that I look. I got sober in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous in 2009, and I was doing step work with my sponsor, and the food kept coming up in my inventory. Like, I just talked about how I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was teaching at the time in a classroom, and I would steal the kids' foods from their lunch boxes, and I would leave them in class to go to the cafeteria to buy sweets. Like, that's how much food had like a hold of me. And it was the first drug I ever picked up before I picked up marijuana or drugs or alcohol. I needed something to escape the way that I felt, which was anxious, depressed most of the time. And I sought that in food because it was easily accessible. I came from a family that, like a lot of other American families, where food was the center of the party. And it just took up way too much brain space in my head. And we were always talking about what we're going to eat, what we're going to eat for the next meal, what we're going to eat tomorrow. It was just the center of everybody's discussion. And another thing that was the center of discussion at my parents' house was obesity and judgment of people that were overweight. And my parents are saying this being overweight people and having an overweight daughter and son. It just nothing really added up, and I was confused by everything. But I don't like to blame my parents or my dysfunctional family for the fact that I turned out to be a compulsive eater or an alcoholic. But the environment didn't help. I think I would have become one regardless of what kind of family I was born and raised in, but it just provided the perfect environment and backdrop for a budding compulsive eater. So when I was younger, I could get away with eating pretty much whatever I wanted because I was involved in sports and I would just burn it off or just run it off. And when I went to college, I remember I went to try out for the soccer team, and I was met with this horrible realization that I was no longer the best soccer player on the team. When I was playing like smaller time soccer in my neighborhood, it was different. But then I realized like how much bigger the world really was, because I was so immersed in my little world that I didn't really think anything existed outside of it. And so I went to college and I quit the team. I said, I'm not going to make it. I don't even want to be on the edge of making it because I either do something 110% or no percent. So instead, I decided to quit before I even got started. And I said, I'm just going to starve myself and not eat and not gain the freshman 15. That's what my whole freshman and sophomore year were about. And, it didn't work. Whenever I was starving myself, I was miserable. I was obsessed with food, and I could do it for a short period of time before it would boomerang into a binge. So the dining commons at school were my friends. I can get as much food as I wanted 3 times a day, and it was on the meal card that my student loans were paying for. So I was in heaven once I got to school. It was just anything I wanted whenever I wanted, and there was no adult supervision. So it was like a lot of things, that happened. Even though my family was the way that they were, we did have a schedule. We were routined as far as activities, sports, and school. I got good grades, all that stuff. So everything on paper looked fine on the outside. But inside, my family was the type of family that whatever happens in this house stays in this house type of family. We don't let anybody know our secrets. And even if they're not even secrets, we don't let anybody know what goes on here. And little did I know, I was growing up in like a little hell, a little training ground for somebody in 12-step programs. So, after the first 2 years of white knuckling it in college with the food, I made up for lost time and started eating. And I started eating with reckless abandon. I don't come from huge numbers, but I was overweight significantly for somebody my size. And I was just absolutely miserable. Every time I came home for Christmas break, my parents didn't know what kind of condition I was going to be in, how much weight I'd gained or lost. They could never, and they made sure they told me about it, that's for sure, because of the judgment that I grew up around. And so I drank and used to quell those feelings. Unfortunately, some of the drugs that I use also cause appetite increase. So that was, it just never added up. I never knew the perfect combination. And the truth was, there was never a perfect combination. It was all destined to implode at some point because ultimately, as a compulsive eater, as an addict, I can't eat whatever I want safely and be in the body that I want to be in. It's just, I can't have my cake and eat it too. The two things just don't go together. So, thank goodness that after college, I went through some crash diets. Not thank God for that, but thank God, like I hit a bottom pretty quickly with the drugs and the alcohol. I got into treatment in 2009. And I quickly embraced the program of Alcoholics Anonymous because I saw myself really going down, jumping off the deep end with that program as far as like coming close to death, suicide attempts, exactly all that stuff. And then once I got sober, I thought not that everything was going to be okay, but my old, frenemy, the food, came back up to the surface. Because when I was drinking and using, I didn't think about food quite as much. It was still there. It was still an obsession, but I could just drink and use to keep myself, skinny for some occasions if I needed to, or I would gain weight and just drink and use so I wouldn't care how I looked. So I went to the OA, AA meetings, and this is pre-Zoom. And that they gave you cookie and cakes, whenever it was your birthday, and you could come and get those as many as you wanted. And I was just like, I'm going to meetings all the time. Like that was the lure for me. And when I got sober, I went back to eating all the terrible things that made me physically sick, emotionally sick, and spiritually sick, is what I found out later. Because I couldn't make contact with a higher power of my understanding, and I was not on board with the God thing when I got into 12-step programs. But now, in hindsight, I couldn't access spirituality when I was so clouded, my brain was so clouded with substances. So 2 years after I got sober, I went to OA, and I was one of those people where immediately I knew I was home. I found people that thought about food as much as I did, who did the embarrassing things like eat out of the trash can like I did, just all those things that I think that I thought I was alone in doing. And but I couldn't get abstinent. Like I was didn't want to give up my alcoholic foods, which for me were the ones I referenced about all the desserts and the sugar and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't willing to give them up. I said, as long as I work out and maintain a weight that I think is acceptable, I'm going to get away with anything. And it didn't matter what the doctor was saying about my numbers when it came to blood work. I didn't care. It was all about the way that I looked. So cut to, I just, do I have a timer?
No, you can talk
Going.
as long as you want. You can talk as
Okay,
long as
well,
you want.
you shouldn't tell me that, but I'm going to keep a quick time on myself just so I feel like I'm being productive. Okay, so I got into Overeaters Anonymous, didn't get abstinent right away or for a long while, and instead I overexercised like a crazy person. And in 2016, I had my first of four back surgeries. I would just run myself into the ground. I still live with chronic pain daily, but it's much more manageable because I'm in a program that's helping me, like have my pain decrease month by month. And it's a mind body kind of program that, because the reason I kept having surgeries was because they didn't work. And it was just a sorry situation. So this was all happening while I was in OA, not abstinent. So cut to the pandemic. I was always like at meetings constantly. I always had a sponsor. I always did the steps, but I could never get the abstinence. And that's for me what it's all about. That's what gave me the peace and the relative neutrality over food. So it's the pandemic, right? And I just had it was Thanksgiving 2020. And I had once again binged at Thanksgiving supper, and then it didn't stop. I just kept eating the rest of the night. I ate till the sun came up. And the next day, I said, this is like drugs. This is exactly how I would use drugs. And I kind of had that come to Jesus moment of clarity moment, or whatever you want to call it, where I said, I really surrender now. Like, I don't care if I have to give up all these foods. I'm so scared of taking them in again because I literally couldn't stop. I have to get physically sick. My stomach has to feel like it's going to explode. And I feel like that the food is coming up. That's how bad it has to get for me to pay attention. I need to be hit on the head with a 2x4. So that was my 2x4. And I attended a Zoom marathon meeting the next day that they were having because it was Thanksgiving weekend. And it was just a moment where I was so low that I had the same suicidal ideations that I had with drugs. Like everything was coming up black. It was just repeating itself just with another substance that's legal in our encouraged in our society. And I got abstinent. And since 2024, 2020, I haven't been abstinent for 4 years. I've had times where I've picked up those foods again. And I picked up right where I left off. It wasn't like I started all over again. It was just like I almost hadn't stopped at all. And before I knew it, I was eating entire, things of granola bars or, going to Whole Foods Market before they opened to get the best muffins or whatever. And it was just like it was the whole thing all over again. What was in my every thought. And then, so it'll be 3 years in January where I haven't picked up those alcoholic foods, pastries, etc. And I'm not perfect with it. The differences between now and then is like I tell my sponsor, I tell him myself, I'll call people in the program and say, you know what, I'm going to eat this. God better stop me or something because this is going to happen right now. And just saying that and doing that kind of just gave my higher power a little sliver of my arrogance would open up and my higher power would be let in. And I was able to just not want it anymore. It was kind of like the obsession was taken away temporarily and I could jump on that. But this is not a black or white thing for me. It's not an all or nothing thing. I didn't completely give up sugar. I didn't completely give up flour like some people do. And at first I thought I had to do that perfect abstinence. I'm going to give myself a couple more minutes. I thought I would have to do the purple abstinence that I heard about in the rooms in order to make it in this program. And it was expressed to me many times by people that there's no such thing as perfection in this program for a lot of people. It's just kind of, not kind of, it's letting go of the foods that for me seem approachable at first. Like, what am I willing to give up today, just for today, and not worrying about tomorrow? But a bunch of tomorrows and todays added up to 3 years, and today for the rest of the day at midnight, I will stay abstinent another day. And I wake up in the morning grateful to not have binged the night before. Nighttime was my witching hour. That's where I did most of my damage with binging.
Yeah, me too.
It was almost like it was dark. I could get away with it. I thought all these strange thoughts, my husband's asleep, whatever it is. And today the kitchen closes after dinner. And sometimes I have to text people afterward and say, kitchen is closed. And if I feel like eating, I take a shower and I go to bed. I don't care if it's 7 p.m. That's what I had to do in the beginning, just to get some time under my belt. And some days, like I say, I have neutrality around food. I can go to family get-togethers and feel safe and protected and not even swear off, just like it says in the big book. And other times it's harder. But I've got a network of people now. Carol is one person that I've gotten attached to in the pandemic. She lives in Maryland. I'm from California. I just moved to a time zone closer to her, a couple of years ago, but I've never met her in person. But I know I can call her at any hour of the day or night if I'm freaking out about something with the food. And I know that she knows that she can do the same thing. So that's how OA shows up for me. I'm closer to people in the program than I am to my own blood family. And this is the family that I consider my family because I know I can say anything. And most people will either nod their heads in agreement or they won't bat an eye because they know they've been there too. So I will pass on that and thank you for letting me share.